Blog Talk Radio.
To you, my Yadu, I lift up my soul. And trust in you, he always kept me whole. Uh-huh. And left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none that wait on Yahweh be ashamed. But shame on those who sin without a cause. Show me your ways, please teach me your laws. Oh, Elohim of my salvation. I'm staying down impatient. As a child, all the while I'm waiting. Remember not the sins of my youth. Leave me in your truth and he'll give your soul ease. The earth shall remain inherited by your seed. The secret of Yahweh who fears Elohim, a fool believes everything. And to every word spoken, you can't take heed unless you hear somebody curse. You know you did the same thing. That's why I'm begging y'all for mercy. And it's love and kindness, cause I know that I ain't worthy. Worthy.
Captivity is taking hold upon me. Put fright in me and now we flee from fallen leaves. The ground and grief from all the blood our people seen. And now we cry, where is the word from Elohim? And so we said that we all is wise to be submissive, but we dismiss it. It is of this reason we have fallen victim to the lies that your root will pray and pursue. Rebellious of the son, forgotten that he is one. Broken the holy ordinance, rejecting the reproof. Then the knowledge what we do. Now we return back to the truth.
God's word is the truth. God's decrees is the proof. Local 12 just released the scoop. It's the summer of Sam. They calling it Sam. Made us worship the son of man. And somehow that the moon, they stole our style and gave it to Rothschild. Now we exhaust the vow, but hit the turnstile. God's now be set the crooked things straight. Praise God from the rising to the evening to the closing the gate. Exposing the fake. God give the truth a day break. Now the liars can't escape and the haters can't relate to the light the truth makes. See the wicked's pride deflate. Your soul, y'all magnify, y'all cut his grace.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is, by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the Creator has allowed us to come before you another day, another night, to bring to you nothing but the truth. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street, bringing you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All I'm going to do is tell you the truth, for Yah ordained me to tell you the truth. And this is what I'm going to do. And I praise the mighty Yah for allowing us to come before you another day, another night, to bring to you his great words. But who is this Yah that we speak of? Well, Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our judge. He's our lawgiver. He's our king. And he is our only Savior, and not just of Israel, but the Savior of the world. And I had the pleasure and honor of bringing to you his words. We started this series speaking about Yah's Sabbaths of years. And what is Yah's Sabbaths of years? Well, Yah's Sabbaths of years are his years in cycles of seven. And the seventh year is a Sabbath unto Yah, a Sabbath of the land. And the Creator told our people in the book of Leviticus, the 25th chapter, the 8th verse, that we were to number seven Sabbaths of years. And in these seven Sabbaths of years, seven times seven will be 49 years. And in the 49th year, we were to blow the horn of Jubilee, which was the horn, the trumpet of liberty. And we were to hollow the 50th year because the 50th year was the Jubilee. In other words, it was a time of freedom. And it was a time where our people who had become servants of other people or may have sold their land, then they were able to return back to their possessions and reclaim it in the year of Jubilee. Every maidservant, every manservant returned, and they reclaimed their possessions. This is Yah's Sabbaths of years. And the reason why we're discussing Yah's Sabbaths of years is because it's very important to know that everything we do is predicated on Yah's cycles of seven. We went over the very cycles of days in which the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yah. Although each day is independent of one another, they still make up one whole week. And each day is not fully completed until you reach the Sabbath day. And then in the Sabbath, then everything becomes complete. Likewise, in Yah's Sabbaths of years, it's just a yearly Sabbath versus a weekly Sabbath. But it's still fixed. It is still relevant. It is still, could you imagine having a weekly Sabbath and then you don't regard it? Well, in many of the various calendars that our people have, they don't regard it. It's there. You can see it. But you'll find they don't regard it at all. And then you're going to learn this with the Gregorian calendar and the Jewish calendar, and we're going to bring the Gregorian and Jewish calendar before our people so you can see it right next to Yah's signs, seasons, days, and years. Then we brought to your attention also how Yah have even cycles among his months. Even though it's 12 months in a year, the Creator showed us that the end of the year concludes in the seventh month. Why? Because seven represents completeness. It represents something that is done and finished. If it represents that one way, then you know it's going to represent that in all ways. And in the seventh month, we have more Sabbaths in the seventh month than any month. And we showed you the very scriptures that demonstrates and shows that the year ends in the seventh month, even though there's five more months to go in the winter. It ends in the summer, and then you go through the winter just like you go through every night to get to the next day. You go through every winter to get to the next year. And we brought that to your attention. And then also, we brought to your attention that every day, every week, every month, including every year, begins in the morning. We don't have this voodoo teaching that will have you start a day different than you will start your months or your years. Because if your months start in the morning, surely your days start in the morning. What you think begin a month? A day. And if you have your year starts in the morning, then what you think began that? Your months. And we brought this to your attention. And we'll go over a few scriptures just to show you what we brought to you. And then we also will let you know that the evening is not a sign for the next day, nor is it a sign for tomorrow, nor is it a sign for the morning. The evening represents one thing and one thing only, and that is it is the end of a day. The day is ending, and the night is coming in. That's all it represents, the end. And all through the scriptures, you will see that the evening represents the end, not the middle of the day, not the time between the middle of the day and the end of the day, as the Jewish people teach. No, that's called afternoon. But the evening represents the end of a day, period. And anything that comes in the end of the day is just that, when the day is ending. And oftentimes we will see things in the end of the day, and we think it's a sign or something for the next day, and it is not. It just happened to come at the end of the day, but it's a sign for the night, but not for the next day. And we'll show you these things. And then I'll show you how these years have a lot of parallels, where you can go in and see for yourself. You can count for yourself how relevant they are. We're going to show you these things. But just a small recap of what you've already seen. concerning how a day will begin. And a lot of people know this, but they don't know how to prove beyond a shadow of doubt when a day begins. But I want you to see, for example, if you turn to the book of Exodus, the 10th chapter, now I'll just show a couple of scriptures on this, so those who might be listening to us for the first time, we're still speaking about the Sabbaths of years, but we specifically want you to understand every component of Yah's years, because if you know the components of a year, when it begin, when it end, the mid part, then you will know the same thing with a month. And you will know the same thing with a day and also a week. In the book of Exodus, 10th chapter, and this is what it says in the fourth verse. Watch what it says. Well, we'll read the third and fourth verse. And Moshe and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh and said unto him, thus is Yah Elohim of the Hebrews, how long will thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. Else, if thou refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow will I bring the locusts into thy coast. Now, we don't know what tomorrow is right now. Tomorrow, for most Israelites, tomorrow is in the evening. Tomorrow could be at midnight if you go by the Gregorian calendar at 12:01. If you go by the Jewish calendar, tomorrow is that night, right when the night come in. Of course, some Jewish people say the evening. But let's see what Yah say tomorrow is. Regardless where you're at today, tomorrow is tomorrow, period. And let's see, in this same Exodus, the 10th chapter. And watch what it says. The 13th verse. And this is what it says. And Moshe stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt. And Yah brought an east wind upon the land all that day. So when he was talking to Moses, it had to be that morning, because he said it brought the east wind all that day. And all that night. So we know tomorrow was not that night. It was not that evening, because the evening comes before that night. So it wasn't that night. And watch what it says. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. So from this scripture alone, it lets you know tomorrow had to be in the morning. And of course, this is what we teach, although many others don't teach that. And if you don't teach this, and you teach tomorrow is that night, or tomorrow is that evening, then you will have a conflict with this scripture, because this clearly said it skips the evening, it skips the night, and went straight to the morning. Furthermore, not only you will see this in the Exodus, the 10th chapter, letting you know that the morning began another day, The morning is tomorrow. Watch what it says in the book of Exodus 16 concerning the Sabbath day. Because the Sabbath day is one of the main things you want to get correct. Nobody want to be wrong on the Sabbath day. And what do it say concerning the Sabbath? Well, let us see. Excuse me. Twenty-third verse. This is what it says. And he said unto them, this is that which Yah have said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto Yah. Bake that which ye shall bake today, and see that ye will see, and that which remaineth over, lay it up for you to be kept until the evening. No, it didn't say that. Lay it up for you to be kept until the night. Nor did it say that. But it says, lay it up for you to be kept until the morning. And what the morning? Because that's when tomorrow is. And watch what it says. And they laid it up till the morning as Moshe bade. And it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moshe said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto Yah. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it. But the 7 day which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And when was that? The morning. That's when they laid it up until. And he said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto Yah. So not only in the book of Exodus 10th chapter, tomorrow is the morning. Exodus the 16th chapter, tomorrow is the morning. And I may add, every scripture you read on tomorrow, or every scripture you read on the next day, all correlates until tomorrow. I mean, in the morning. They always correlate to the morning, because tomorrow, as well as the next day, is the morning. So we see here, a day is in the morning, the Sabbath in the morning. Furthermore, in the book of Exodus 19, this is what it says. And I'll start reading in the 10th and 11th verse. This is what it says. And Yah said unto Moshe, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow. So we know what tomorrow is now. That's in the morning. And let them wash their clothes. And be ready against the third day. For the third day, Yah will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. Now, when is that? Well, we know. He said, sanctify them today and tomorrow. We know what tomorrow is. And be ready against the third day. And when is that? Is that at evening? Is that at night? And the answer is no. If you want to know when that is, it's going to tell you when that is. At the 14th verse, this is what it says. And Moshe went down from the mount unto the people. He sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, Be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. And watch the 16th verse. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning. And why the morning? Because I told you, this is when Yah order his work. Why you think the Creator let us know that from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, Yah's name is to be praised? Because that's when he orders his work. This is why, and that's in the book of Psalms 50, 1 through 3. He let us know in the book of Psalms 113, verse 1, that he called the earth from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same. Because this is when Yah order his work. And then you may ask, well, what about the months? Well, let me show you. First, I want you to go to 1 Samuel, the 19th chapter. See, brothers and sisters, this don't have to be a controversy. Nobody had to be mad at nobody. All you have to do is humble yourself to the truth of Yah. And a question that you have to ask yourself, am I telling the truth? Is tomorrow the morning? And if tomorrow is the morning, then you just praise Yah. But if tomorrow is not the morning, as it's said in here, then the only one that is in denial is you. Because this is what thus says Yah. Watch what it says in 1 Samuel, the 19th chapter. In the book of 1 Samuel 19, of course, if you don't know the background story of this, King Saul had an evil spirit upon him, and the spirit of Yah departed from him. And he had tried to kill David, who Yah had anointed to be king, many times. And this was one of those times. This time it was so obvious that even David began to be so suspicious of Saul that now he was on a run. He knew evil was determined against him, and he knew he could no longer stay in the presence of Saul because he knew evil was determined upon him. And this is what it says in 1 Samuel 19, verse 9. And the evil spirit from Yah was upon Saul as he sat in the house with his javelin in his hand. And David played with his hand. And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin. But he slipped away out of Saul's presence. Now, how did David know this was about to go down? Because David was a mighty warrior. He knew the countenance of men. And he knew when this evil spirit had came upon Saul, just like he knew as he played certain instruments, it brought Saul to some peace. And he knew Saul began to get this evil spirit. And he slipped away, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him, and to slay him in the morning. Now, you notice David had got away from Saul that night, but they sent some watchmen to watch him so that they can kill him in the morning. And because David's wife told him, saying, "If thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain." And when is tomorrow? Well, according to this, it is the morning, because tomorrow always comes after the night. Most people think the night before the morning is the same day. And that is not true. Matter of fact, the night ain't the day, period. And after the night is tomorrow. And when is tomorrow? The morning. And when is the morning? The next day. The next day. And so the night follows the morning, not vice versa. I know you've been taught and led to believe that the morning follows the night, but that is not so, as we can see here. Tomorrow is the morning. And of course, the 12th verse says, "So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. And Michal took an image, laid it in the bed, and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster, covered it with cloth. And when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, 'He is sick.' And Saul sent the messengers again to see David, saying, 'Bring him up to me in the bed that I may slay him.' And when the messengers were come in, behold, there was an image in the bed with the pillow of goat's hair for his bolster." In other words, they didn't even want to wait till the morning. They was going to kill him that night. So we see all through the scriptures. This is all you're going to see if you're a serious student of the scriptures. And you tremble at the word of Yah, you will see what I'm telling you is the truth. The scriptures don't lie. Tomorrow is the morning. Then we get to this scripture, which most people misinterpret. And I understand why. Because I understand how our enemies play with words. But we're here to make the crooked things straight, so you don't have to be deceived by them anymore. For watch what it says in the book of 1 Samuel, the 20th chapter. This is very important. And this is what it says in the 4th verse. Since David seen that evil was determined on him, he says, "Then said Jonathan unto David, 'Whatsoever thy soul desire, I would even do it for thee.' And David said unto Jonathan, 'Behold, tomorrow is the new moon.'" Now think about this for a second. If tomorrow, all through the scriptures, always mean the morning, then you will automatically know, you should automatically know, that this is not no sliver of light, because the sliver of light never comes in the morning. That comes in the evening. That's a fact. That the sliver of light, which is called the crescent, don't never come in the morning. So when it never said tomorrow is this new moon, as many of our people go by. Because tomorrow is the morning. Now, they can say tomorrow is the new month. And that's exactly what it says. Tomorrow is the new month, and I should not fail to sit with the king at meat. But let me go, that I might hide myself in the field until the third day at even. In other words, at least give me to the evening of the third day, which is the end of the third day. And you'll find out that he didn't even have to wait till the evening of the third day, because Saul got so mad, he knew immediately what was going on. And that's Jonathan. David already knew. Furthermore, in this same chapter, watch what it says in the 12th verse. And Jonathan said unto David, O Yah Elohim of Israel, when I have sounded my father about tomorrow, anytime. In other words, tomorrow don't mean any time. Tomorrow means the morning. The morning at any time during the morning, or the third day. And behold, if there be good toward David, and I then send not unto thee and show it thee, Yah do so much, so and much more to Jonathan. But if it please my father to do thee evil, then I will show it thee and send thee away, that thou mayest go in peace, and Yah be with thee as he has been with my father. In other words, tomorrow. And again, tomorrow is always the morning. It's never the afternoon. It's never the midday. And it's never the evening. If it says the evening, it's going to say tomorrow evening. Or tomorrow at midday. Because it means the next day. But it's always speaking about the morning. Furthermore, let me show you again in the same chapter, in the 18th verse. This is what it says. Then Jonathan said to David, tomorrow is the new month. Again, brothers and sisters, this sliver of light never comes in the morning. Ever. Never. And tomorrow is always talking about the morning. That's what tomorrow is. Furthermore, still in this same chapter, look what it says in the 24th verse. So David hid himself in the field, and when the new moon was come, the king set him down to eat meat. And when was that? Well, in the morning, because tomorrow is the morning. And watch what it says. And in 26th and 27th verse. Nevertheless, Saul spake not anything that day, for he thought something had befallen him. He is not clean, surely is not clean. And it came to pass on the morrow. When is that? Well, in the morning. Which was the second day of the month. This whole chapter is dealing with the morning. David's place was empty. And have, watch what he says. Wherefore cometh not the son of Jesse to meet neither yesterday nor today? What's going on with this? And lastly, let me show you the last thing it says about this thing in the 35th verse. And it came to pass in the morning that Jonathan went out in the field at the time appointed with David and a little lad with him. Because David just was giving him until the third day at evening, but he didn't have to wait that long. He came out that third day in the morning, as it's stating here. So what is this letting us know? That tomorrow is the morning. This is when our days begin. This is when our weeks begin. This is when our Sabbaths begin. This is when our months begin. And, of course, it has to be when our years begin in the morning. Now, if you want to know when these things end, in the book of Joshua or Judges, make that Judges. Just show you this. Because just as important it is to know when these things begin, you must also know when they end. That's very important. And then I want you to see something very peculiar that you may not have considered before. I said Judges 16, but let's try Judges 19. Judges 19. Starting at the first verse, this is what it says. And it came to pass in those days when there was no king in Israel, that there were a certain Levite sojourning on the side of the Mount of Ephraim, took to him a concubine out of Bethlehem, Judah. And his concubine played the whore against him and went away from him unto her father's house to Bethlehem, Judah, and was there for a month. And I may add, you'll read this story, and during the time of Judges, our people was doing all kind of things. They were not keeping the law. The only time they were keeping the law is when the Almighty raised up a judge. That's why I started off where it came to pass in those days when there was no king in Israel. In other words, they didn't have no judge. That's what a king is a judge. And if there was no king, he would have raised up a judge. But they didn't have nobody making sure everybody was keeping the law. And, of course, this Levite was not keeping the law. Third verse. And her husband arose and went after her to speak friendly unto her and to bring her again, having his servant with him and a couple of asses. And she brought him into her father's house. And when the father of the damsel saw, he rejoiced to meet him. And his father-in-law, the damsel's father, retained him, and he abode with him 3 days. Now watch these 3 days. And we told you what three represents. But watch what happens. And he bowled with him 3 days, so they did eat and drink and lodge there. And now watch this. In other words, and it came to pass on the fourth day. This is the fourth day now. When they arose early in the morning, that he rose up to depart. And the damsel's father said unto his son-in-law, comfort thy heart with a morsel of bread, and afterward go your way. And they sat down and did eat and drink, both of them together. For the damsel's father had said unto the man, be content, I pray thee, and tarry all night, and let thy heart be merry. And when the man rose up to depart, his father-in-law urged him. Therefore he lies there again. And he rose early in the morning on the fifth day to depart. Because remember, the morning is tomorrow. It's another day. It's the next day. And the damsel's father said, comfort our heart, I pray thee. And they tarried until afternoon. In other words, they after midday. This is afternoon. And they did eat both of them. And when the man rose up to depart, he and his concubine and his servant, his father-in-law, the damsel's father said unto him, behold, now, because it's afternoon, the day draws toward evening. It's not evening, but it's going towards evening. I pray you tarry all night. You notice he didn't say tarry all evening, because evening is just a small part of a day, and it's the end of a day. So he said, the day draw towards evening. I pray you tarry all night. Behold, the day groweth to an end. And when is the end? In the evening. And what was it drawing towards? The evening. And watch what he says. And tomorrow get you early on your way. And when is tomorrow? In the morning. That thou mayest go home. And watch what it says. But the man would not tarry that night. But he rose up and departed and came over against Jabus, which is in Jerusalem. And there were with him two asses saddled. Concubine also was with him. So in other words, he didn't want to stay there that night. And he said, man, I got to go. I got to get out of here. Because the day draw to an end, I got to get somewhere and get out and get somewhere safely. And if you read the 16th verse of this same chapter, and behold, there came an old man from his work out of the field at even. When is even? That's the same as evening. And when is that? The end of a day. When the day is ending and the night is coming in, which was also about in front, and he sojourned in Gibeah, but the men of the place were Benjamites. But I just wanted you to see the various parts of a day and how we have to look at the various days, the various Sabbaths, the various weeks, and the Sabbaths of years. And let me just read you this one more scripture in the same chapter, the 25th verse, and watch what it says. But the men would not hearken to them. So the man took his concubine, brought her forth unto them, and they knew her. And abused her all the night until the morning. And when the day began to spring, they let her go. In other words, all night long they abused this woman. And she had already played the whore. So I guess the Levite just let her go out. And they knew her. And they abused her. That's why I said at this time, nobody was keeping the law. And when the day began to spring, and when is that? In the morning? Then he let her go. Then came the woman in the dawning of the day. And when is the dawning of the day? Well, it's going to tell you. And fell down at the door of the man's house where her master was till it was light. Because that's when it's the morning. The dawning of the day. The day began to spring. And the morning, all are part of the same season. And this is what we have to know. Everything is ordered from the morning. Then the day ends at evening, not at some time of the night where you think, oh, it's in now because it's all the way dark. No, that's not how you determine whether a day ended or not. You determine a day end by the evening. This is the end of the day. And furthermore, how does this help you to understand Yah's Sabbaths and years? Because when the Most High began to count his weeks and months and years, you have to learn how to start counting in the morning. You never, ever count in the evening. And the evening is never a sign for the morning, nor is it a sign for the next day. The only sign for the next day is the day itself, the light itself. That is the sign. And then the other sign is the sun. As a matter of fact, if you want to know what the sign for the end of a day, it'll let you know in the book of Deuteronomy. Let me just show you this real quick. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 16th chapter, this is what it says. Starting at the 5th verse, it says, "Thou mayest not sacrifice the Passover within any of thy gates which Yahda Elohim giveth thee." And this is why we don't do that. "But at the place where Yahda Elohim shall choose to place his name in, there thou shalt sacrifice the Passover at even, at the going down of the sun, at the season that thou camest forth out of Egypt." Anytime the Almighty, he said the sun is a light by day. So not only the sun lets us know, is a sign in the morning as it rises, but it's also a sign to let us know it is evening when it goes out. And all through the scriptures, you will see this. Unlike the moon and the stars, it'll let you know that the moon and the stars is a sign by night. Now, it is true, there's one scripture I did read in the book of Nehemiah, the 4th chapter, and I'll read that to you so you won't think I'm not aware of this scripture. I'm very aware of this scripture, and this is what it says in Nehemiah, the 4th chapter. So you can see this. It says in the 21st verse of Nehemiah, the 4th chapter. And watch what it says. "So we labored in the work. Half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appear." And when do the stars appear? Well, at night, this is when they appear. And some might say, well, now they start appearing in the evening. Well, that's fine, because the day is ending anyway. But watch what it says. "Likewise, at the same time said I unto the people, that everyone with his servants lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night that they may be guard to us in labor on the day." So they knew just by the signs of heaven which part of the day that they will be in, the day or the night. That's what they use these signs for. And the stars and the moon let you know you were in the night. In the morning, and the sun knew, let you know you were in the day. These are the signs. These are the things that we must know. Now, concerning Yah's Sabbaths of years also, because this is all about his Sabbaths of years. And these things, these fundamental truths must be understood if you're going to understand how Yah will count his years and how Yah will order his years. Just like Yah ordered the days, and then we had a Sabbath. Yahweh ordered the weeks and even had a Sabbath. And Yahweh ordered the months and will have various Sabbaths. And Yahweh ordered the years and still have a Sabbath. And just so you can see that Yah, when he ordered things, there are various Sabbaths. Look at one of the Sabbaths of Yah, and it will only happen once a year in the book of Leviticus, the 23rd chapter. Even though the Sabbath day happens every week, because it comes every week. But these Sabbaths will only happen, they will only happen once a year. And these particular Sabbaths right here happen only in the seventh month. And look how many Sabbaths it is. The very first Sabbath of that seventh month is in Leviticus, the 23rd chapter. This is what it says. And Yah spake unto Moshe, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of this month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation. That's the first Sabbath of the seventh month. As a matter of fact, it's the seventh month, the first day of the month. Then you have another Sabbath in the 26th verse. And Yah spake unto Moshe, saying, also on the 10th day of the seventh month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto Yah. And ye shall do no work in that same day. And why? Because it's a Sabbath. For it is the day of atonement to make an atonement for you before Yah your Elohim. And for whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and ye shall afflict your souls. In the ninth day of the month at evening, from evening unto evening shall you celebrate your Sabbath. And this is for the Day of Atonement. In other words, from the end of the ninth until the end of the tenth, from evening unto evening. And then furthermore, the Creator had another Sabbath in this month, this seventh month. And watch what it says concerning this one. 39th verse. Also in this 15th day of the seventh month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto Yah 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. And furthermore, still Yah wasn't finished in this 7 months. Because once you get to the 7th month of the 7th year, then Yah doubles the amount of Sabbaths that you will have. And of course, in the 49th year, you have another Sabbath. Of course, that you blow the horn of Jubilee on the Day of Atonement. You also, in a year release, on the Feast of Tabernacles, and the land also is a Sabbath. So it's 3 additional things he added in the 7th year. So I just wanted you to see this, to show you how important and how significant the 7th is, and how Yah will close out the various months, how he was closed out the various holy days. And you may note that there is no holy callings after the 7th month, except for the weekly Sabbath and the new month. The only one, the new month, is not called a holy convocation. Although our people gathered during that time. Now, I want to show you this concerning our Sabbaths of years, because we're going to begin getting into how you learn and how you can tell what year we're in. We're going to get into the very details of this. But first, we got to show you the very basic truths of these things. So, for instance, if we go back to Exodus, the 12th chapter, and watch what it says in Exodus 12th chapter, the 40th verse, and this is something that you want to write down. You write all these scriptures down, but this is important because this is how you know, how you can tell, because the Almighty gives us various clues where we can tell what year we're in. And this is what it says in the 40th verse. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of Yah went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto Yah for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of Yah to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. So what is this letting us know? Well, one is letting us know that we sojourned in Egypt for 430 years. But the question is, when did we come out of Egypt? Well, according to Yah's signs, seasons, days, and year, we came out in the 1st year, the 1st month. The 15th day of that 1st month, that's when we came out of Egypt, year 1. So now we got this 430 years, and we got this year 1. So how can we tell that this year 1 correlates with this 430 years? How do we correspond these 2 different dates? We know this was the case because if you look at Exodus 12 and 1, this is what it says. And Yah spake unto Moshe and Aaron, the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the 1st month of the year unto you. The next day to give you is talking about the 10th day of this first month. The next day to give you is the 14th day of this first month. And then the next day to give you the 15th day of this first month. And then we leave Egypt. So this month that we're speaking about, in the 430 years that we sojourn in Egypt, is the beginning of months. It is the first month of the year to you. And for it to be the beginning of months, it will have to be the first year. Because this is the beginning of months. And so we need to know, how do we know this is the first year? Other than the fact that Yah told us, and we sojourned 430 years, but we can know. We can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that what Yah said here is the truth. We know it's the truth, but can we prove that it's the truth? And yes, we can. All you got to know is what the first year is. And when our people came into Egypt, since they sojourned 430 years, and it let you know when they came into Egypt. In the book of Genesis. Now, I'm going to read it to you, and I want you to note it, but we're going to show you how you count. And by now, you should know how to count. Because there's only 7 different days. That's all it is. It's only really 7 different months. And it's only 7 different years. And so when you begin to learn this, you know all you got to do is by 7, and it's easy to figure out. In the book of Genesis, our father Yosef, a prophet of Yah, he let us know exactly when we went into Egypt. The first thing he let us know in the book of Genesis 41, and this is what it says. And it came to pass, at the end of 2 full years, so when is that? It's 2 full years now. It's gone. We're at the end of 2 full years. And you will see at the end of 2 full years, the only thing that come after 2 is 3. So we must have been in the 3rd year. That Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. Now, what day was this that Pharaoh had his dream? Well, if we look at the 40th chapter, the 20th verse, this is what it said. And it came to pass the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. In other words, Pharaoh got drunk. But he hanged the chief baker as Yosef had interpreted him. Yet did not the chief butler remember Yosef, but forgot him. And it came to pass after 2 full years, Pharaoh dreamed. Yeah, because now it's that night. And this is what you're going to find. And this is what we're going to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt. That the 3rd year happens on the 3rd day. That's when the 3rd year begins. But for the sake of argument, we're only trying to prove one point right now, and that at the end of 2 full years, it was the 3rd year. And in this 3rd year, when Pharaoh had a dream, and our father Yosef interpreted dreams, he said it would be 7 years of plenty. And 7 years from the third year, you're back at the third year. All you got to do is count it. You're back at the third year. Because all y'all years is in cycles of seven. Then he told him it will be 7 years of plenty. And we're going to read these things to you. But when they got to the second year of the famine, because it was 7 years of plenty, so everybody was good during the years of plenty. But then the years of famine came in, and that's when things began to be complicated. And I just want you to see what happened during the second year of the famine. And you'll read this in the book of Genesis 45. And this is what it says. Now remember, our people sojourned in Egypt 430 years. This is when they went into Egypt. That is when they went out of Egypt. They went out in the first year. But when did they go in into Egypt? So that we can be able to tell you, prove to you what Yah said is the truth. And this is what it says. First verse. Then Yosef could not retain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Yosef made himself known unto his brother. And he wept aloud. And the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Yosef said unto his brethren, I am Yosef. Do my father yet live? And his brother could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Yosef said unto his brethren, come near to me, and I pray you. I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Yosef, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me here. For Elohim did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years had the famine been in the land. And yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And Elohim sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me here, but Elohim. And he had made me a father to Pharaoh, master of his house, a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Hasti, go up to my father. And saying to him, thus says thy son Yosef, Elohim have made me master of all Egypt. Come down unto me and tarry not, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast, and there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father here. And of course, this is what they did. And then it says, 21st verse, and the children of Israel did so. And Yosef gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, gave them provision for the way. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave three 100 pieces of silver, 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner, 10 asses laden with good things of Egypt, 10 she asses laden with corn, bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, see that ye fall not out by the way. And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Yosef is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed him not. And they told him all the words of Yosef, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Yosef had sent to carry him, the spirit of Yaakov their father revived. And Israel said, it is enough. Yosef, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. In other words, that's when the children of Israel went down into Egypt to sojourn there. And the sojourning of children of Israel was 430 years. And what year was that? Well, there was 7 years of famine from the third year. And he was back at the third year. And there was 2 years of famine, the third year and the fourth year. And in the fourth year is when they came into Egypt. And we're going to show you how you count 430 years from the fourth year and where you will be. And let me tell you where you will be. In the first year that our people came out of Egypt. That's where you're going to end up at, because there's only 7 different years. This is how Yahweh counts years. But why did they walk into Egypt the fourth year? And what was so significant about the fourth year? Well, if you've been listening, the fourth year, the fourth in of itself, represents Yah praise. Just show you how important the fourth is. As you know, in the book of Genesis, the first chapter, the 14th verse, this is when the Almighty made the sign, season, days, and years. So the first season, the first sign, the first year, the first days that our people had known occurred on the fourth day of the week. They knew it was the fourth day, but they knew that was the day that Yah completed the heavens and ordained it with light. No wonder Yah said, from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, Yah's name is to be praised, because this is when he ordered the years and the months and the seasons on the fourth day. And this is important. Watch what it says in the book of Genesis, the fourth chapter. And there's something unique about this fourth chapter that you're going to read something that didn't happen before this time. And watch what it says in the third verse. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto Yah. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And Yah had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. In other words, as you can see, this is when, according to the scriptures, the very first offering was made unto Yah. One of the ground, one of the flock. Of course, the Almighty didn't have respect unto Cain. But why in the fourth chapter? Because I'm here to show you what the fourth represents. Then you can understand why the children of Israel went into Egypt the fourth year. Because Yah would deliver them by a great deliverance that fourth year. Even though it was a famine that year, when they walked into Egypt, when Joseph sent the camels and all that, they was laden with all kind of silver and gold and all kind of food as if it wasn't a famine. This is how much the Almighty loved the children of Israel. But why the fourth year? We know it was the fourth year because it was the second year of the years of the famine. And everything began in the third year, at the end of 2 years. So here in Genesis, in the fourth chapter, we're reading about the first offering. And not only you'll read about the first offering that was made in the book of Genesis, the fourth chapter, watch what this says also in the Genesis, the fourth chapter, the 25th and the 26th verse. Let's see if this is relevant to you. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. But Elohim said, she have appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began man to call upon the name of Yah. Why are we reading this in the fourth chapter of Genesis? And why is this important to know? Because Yah would always have a servant to call upon his name. And Enos was the second generation after Adam. But really, he was Adam's fourth son. Because you had Abel, you had Cain, you had Seth, and you had Enos. And what do this have to do with calling upon a name and offerings? What do the Sabbaths of years have to do with that? Well, let me show you in the book of Leviticus. This is why I'm showing you why the fourth is so important. Then you can understand why this fourth year, when the children of Israel walked into Egypt, is so important. In the book of Leviticus, the 19th chapter, watch what it says. In the 23rd verse, and when ye shall come into the land and shall have planted all manner of trees for food, then ye shall count the fruit thereof as uncircumcised. 3 years shall it be uncircumcised unto you. It shall not be eaten of. But in the fourth year, all the fruit thereof shall be holy to praise Yah withal. And then we say the fourth represents his praise. No wonder the children of Israel walked in Egypt the fourth year, because they are his praise. No wonder we had to give our offerings in the fourth year, because it's holy and it represents his praise. No wonder the first offering that we read about in the whole entire scriptures, the very first offering was in Genesis, the fourth chapter. Why? because it represents his praise. And not only that, if you go to the book of 1 Kings, the 6th chapter, because we also read in Genesis, the 4th chapter, then men began to call upon the name of Yah. And what significance does that have? Well, in the book of 1 Kings, the 6th chapter, the first verse, watch what it says. And it came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel come out of the land of Egypt. And watch what it says. In the 4th year of Solomon reigns over Israel, in the month of Zib, which is the 2nd month that he began to build the house of Yah. In other words, that's when Solomon began to build the house of Yah, in the 4th year. Why? Because it represents praise. Scripture will plainly tell you that it took him 7 years. And watch what it says concerning that in the 37th verse. In the same chapter, 1 Kings, the 6th chapter, it says, in the 4th year was the foundation of the house of Yah laid in the month of Ziph, and in the 11th year. And what is that? 7 years later. All you do, count 4 plus 7, that's 11. And really, 11 is just going right back to the 4th year, because Yah's years are in cycles of 7. And then the 11th year in the 8th month, was the house finished throughout all the parts thereof. According to all the fashion of it, so was he 7 years in building. Started in the 4th year, finished in the 11th year. As the scripture says, 7 years later, cycles of 7. And since our people walked into Egypt in the 4th year, 430 years later, all you have to do is count. See how many sevens in between 4 and 430. And you'll see what we're telling you is the truth. That when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, and we're going to show you this now, in the 1st year, coming out of Egypt, the 15th day, that indeed it was exactly 430 years. And not only we will show you that, because that's the 4th year. When did our people go into the wilderness? The 1st year. And when did they come out of the wilderness? The 5th year. And we're going to show you that. Just like 480 years later, after coming out of Egypt, when they come out of Egypt, the 1st year. And 480 years later, when is that? The 4th year. See, these are all the things you can know. When did the flood happen? In the 600th year of Noah. And when is that? What year is that? Since 480 years later is the 4th year of Solomon. Since 430 years occurred the 4th year in Egypt. When do you think the flood happened in the 600th year of Noah? When the rain floods came down in the 2nd month. And I may add, what month was it after 480 years when they built the temple? The 2nd month. Well, let me tell you the year that the flood happened, the fourth year. And we're going to show you all this, because all y'all years, we supposed to know. He the one told us to count them. They in cycles of seven. And you're going to see, beyond a shadow of a doubt, Yah signs, seasons, days, and years are different, diverse, holy, unique, and not even close to these calendars that have tricked and bamboozled our people. And here it is, our people are using these things to try to correct us. How you going to correct us? And you got a calendar that has 31 days, 30 days, and this days and that days, and you don't know where they start in the winter and end in the winter. Start in January, end in December, and you will use that to correct us. Now ask yourself, do that make sense to you? No, it don't make sense at all if you understand the truth. But we're going to show you how you count. But you have to see, I didn't put 480 years in there in the fourth year, nor did I put 430 years in there in the first year. I didn't do that. Nor did I put when they went into Egypt. That's all in the book. And we're going to show you other dates. Undeniable, so that you can see that Yah words is perfect. And every word of Elohim is pure. All the various dates in here, all the various times in here, all the very months, years, seasons, they all are perfect. And he is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. So until tomorrow, Yah love you, and so do I. Shalom.
Remain inherited by a seed. The secret of Yah's will, who fears Elohim.